Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi. Today, I'm really excited because we have a very special guest on the show. Before we begin, I just want to give a quick shout out to Speaker and to iHeartRadio and also to YouTube for sponsoring us and making this video and this podcast happen. I'm really excited about this. We have, like I said, a very special guest. She has her own podcast on our channel, so it's called The Caregiver's Journey, and I want you to check out the podcast because it's an amazing podcast. It's an organization that helps people with dementia. And Nancy Treister is the founder. And she's here today, and we're going to talk a little about the foundation and about dementia and different things that could help you and your family if you any of your members of your family or loved ones suffer from dementia. I'm really excited to have you here. I love your story. I just want to, have everybody learn a little about you. So before we begin, can you just tell everybody a little about you and the foundation itself?
Yes, thank you so much, Stacey. And once again, thanks for having me. We are a nonprofit, The Caregiver's Journey, and our goal is to help dementia family caregivers with practical resources to really tackle day-to-day dementia caregiving challenges. And so that's really all we're out to do is just get the word out that there is help and there is information that will help them tackle the day. And that's really what dementia family caregivers struggle with.
I love that. Now, could you share your personal caregiver story? Because it's such a beautiful story, and and what the circumstances were that led you to becoming a caregiver.
Thank you. Yes. So my father was diagnosed with Parkinson's about 25 years ago. He passed away about a year ago from Parkinson's, and that was a long distance caregiving support for me. My sister and my mother did most of the day-to-day support for my father, and I helped from about 2 hours away. But that introduced the concept of support that's needed both for the person who's living with whatever the challenge is, as well as for the caregiver themselves, as I watched my mother go through all the pain of being a caregiver, because it is a stressful job, as we know.
Yes.
About 10 years ago, my husband was diagnosed with frontotemporal dementia, and he passed in December of this past year. And that was the beginning, I think, of just really a major change to my life. And we'll talk more about that, obviously. And then about 6 years ago, my father-in-law, who I take care of as well, got diagnosed with Alzheimer's. So I was quite down the caregiving path for quite a while. All of the loved ones that I just mentioned passed in different months of 2024. So all those journeys started at different times, and they all ended in the same year, which was an interesting way to finish the caregiving journey, but obviously led me to co-found the Caregiver's Journey and try to figure out a way to help other people.
I love that. That is so beautiful. So many people need people to help them because in our society, we have so many people who suffer from dementia and Alzheimer's. And what they're saying is in the next couple of years, it's supposed to be just it increased dramatically. And I don't remember the exact reasons that, someone was talking about it and they were in the industry also. And they were saying that the numbers expected to rise are tremendous. And I'm not really
Yes.
sure the exact reason why Alzheimer's and dementia is on the rise, but they were talking about, that they're looking at the numbers, they're seeing what's going on, they're seeing the reasons why it's happening, and they're looking at society as a whole and doing a lot of trials, and they find that in the next couple of years it's supposed to rise dramatically among a lot of individuals, worldwide, because everybody, as we get older, it declines somewhat. We get a form of dementia, they say. As we get older, our memory gets a little bit foggy, and we don't sometimes move as quick, or we forget words and stuff like that. But that's natural. That happens to everybody as they get older. But when it comes to actual dementia, and it comes to losing your memory and losing different areas of your ability to function normally, those are things that we really need to focus on, and see if there's anything that we can do to help the person or help the family as a whole. Now, what was the most unexpected challenges you faced when you first stepped into the caregiving role?
Well, mostly when my husband got diagnosed with dementia, I was working full time as an executive at a software company. And a lot of people who are working and trying to balance work and caregiving don't self-identify. I did quite the opposite. I immediately went to my boss and said, my husband's been diagnosed with dementia, and that's going to affect my life in a big way. And it was already because, when someone's diagnosed with dementia, you actually see all the signs for sometimes a year or two before they're ever diagnosed. So I knew something was wrong and was already making adjustments based on the fact that something wasn't right. But it took, until the actual diagnosis before I went to the company to make sure that they knew what was going on in my life. I have to say, I could not have asked for more support from this company. The company was Verint, and they were so supportive through my entire caregiving journey until I finally retired. But balancing work and caregiving, I did not realize how much that was taking out of me, because I had to figure out how to obviously support my husband, but how to support the company, because as far as I was concerned, the company was doing a great job supporting me. I needed to make sure I kept up my end of the bargain. I eventually had to go part-time in order to, because the caregiving support just required too much of me here at home. Actually, I started working from home 4 days a week. Then I started working from home 5 days a week. Then I went part-time. But each one of these steps I took in conjunction with my management team. And we had big discussions about what the next appropriate way for me to balance things was. But it was a surprise. I guess I just, you got the working mom thing. You're used to just doing it all. And of course you can do it all. That's what you do when you're a working mom. You just manage. And caregiving for someone who's living with dementia gets harder and harder and harder and harder. And that's the difference in caregiving for a child. It actually gets a little easier and a little easier and a little easier. And it eventually just became too much, and I had to retire.
So how did you navigate your feelings of guilt, grief, or burnout that may, that many caregivers experience?
So I would say not very well at first, for sure. I'm one of those people where if I get the flu, I plow through, I plow through. How do you feel? I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. And then when it's all over 2 days later, I'm like, boy, I was really sick. And I think I attacked caregiving the same way. I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. And then finally, and people who've heard my story before have heard this, some friends took me to lunch and convinced me to go out to lunch. I basically pulled myself into a hole. I told my friends, don't call me, I'll call you. I just hunkered down. And then some friends convinced me to go out to lunch. And we're sitting at lunch when, and they said, so how's it going? And I burst into tears, which was number one, I never cry. So that was very unlike me. And number two, I thought I was fine, but apparently I was not. So once I woke up to, I'm not fine, I did. That was a wake-up call, obviously, and I needed it because then I did start leaning on family, friends, neighbors, and really realized I've got to get some help. I can't just hunker down and do this by myself.
Yes, I can relate to you because when I was a caregiver to a few of my relatives who were passing around at the same time, I felt like a pot of boiling water, and I felt like I was right at the tippy top, and the water was starting to bubble up and getting ready to boil over. And I had my own life, I had my career going on, I had my family to take care of. I had some problems that occurred in my family that needed to be addressed, and it was just, how do you balance it all? Because being a caregiver is really like a full-time job in itself. You are consistently, watching over that person, making sure that person has everything they need, making sure, that, you pump that positivity in that person and try to, even though they may not understand everything that's going on, and or they might be very depressed because they have an idea and they just, it's very hard for them to deal with. because I, you know, for some, you know, they remembered when they could remember how they were at times when they were healthy, and then they compare themselves to how they are now, and that caused a lot of depression for many of them. And so I, you know, it was like a full-time job. And I got to the point also where, you know, if you couldn't run there, you felt guilty, you know, and
True.
if you weren't able to provide them with everything they needed. But there's always so much you can do too as a caregiver, and that's, you could just do your best and try to make the best decisions. But it is a lot of a very hard job, and there's a lot of emotions that come with it too that are very
That
hard
is
to
so
deal with.
true. Well, and you're dealing with the emotions, particularly when you're with, as you already mentioned, you're dealing with the emotions of the care receiver because they're going through their own emotional roller coaster, if you will. They realize they can't do what they used to do. They're frustrated. They're upset. You're going through your own emotions at the same time. And yet you're the one who's got to really be there for both of you because they can't anymore. So it
Right.
is an extremely, a matter of fact, people, caregivers who are caring for someone living with dementia have what's considered to be some of the most extreme emotional disruption than any other type of caregiver.
Oh, I believe it. I believe it. I had to be, I went to do a speaking event, and it was in a assisted living home for people with dementia and Alzheimer's. And it was very hard just walking in there and seeing these people, you know, and then just imagining to myself what they might have been like 30, 40 years ago, you know, and it broke my heart. I had to hold back the tears. It was, so I can only imagine what a loved one and and someone who was close to a person with dementia may feel. Because for me, just seeing those people and just, you know, seeing them, how they deteriorated and how their mind was no longer there, and they didn't really know what was going on. They were very confused, or, you know, they didn't realize where they were or they remember their name. For me, I it was very hard for me to even be in that environment because it was so emotional. I was so overwhelmed with emotions. It was very hard. So I can only imagine, you know, being a caretaker of someone with dementia, you know, what they're going through. Because if I could, it was just visiting to do a speaking event, and I was surrounded by people with Alzheimer's dementia, and I barely could be able to handle it myself. Could you imagine how families feel, you know, and loved ones feel?
Right. And you know, Stacey, that's one of the things that surprised me the most about being a caregiver was the amount of empathy that came flooding in for my loved ones, my husband, my father-in-law, my dad. You have a lot of natural empathy, I can tell by that story. It's not really my strong point. And yet it broke my heart to see them like that, particularly my husband, who he was such a strong man and so independent, and to watch him, his independence, you know, fall apart, and his ability to just be the person he was. I had so much empathy for that, and I carried that through my caregiving journey, which I think was, I was surprised. I surprised myself by that, but I also think it was a huge help in terms of how I managed through the journey.
Now, when, in what ways has your caregiving experience shaped who you are today?
I think the empathy part is a big part of it. I think understanding more about trying to give back to other people because of what I learned, and understanding that most people are first timers. They have not there's no tr they haven't been through training. Even if you go through training, any training you go through is high level because every person with dementia is different. And so helping get myself in a mental state where I can get out there and help others, and with the kind of empathy, knowing that they are going through one of the most extremely difficult things that you can go through, and giving them the kind of support that they need in whatever way I can. My friend Sue and I, with the Caregiver's Journey, are just trying to help as many people as we possibly can, and that I think is what I'm left with here.
And I love that. I love that because that's what inspired me, is when I went through trials and tribulations, it was what I learned. I wanted to help others. You know, what I went through is like, if I could help one person improve whole life, then my goal has been met. Of course, I wanted to help one person, but just the feeling of accomplishment where if you could help somebody with dementia and you could help a family member, if you could teach a family how to cope and how to be able to, take the situation and turn it into something positive in some sort of way, then your goal has been met, because that's what it's all about. It's about giving back, it's not about taking, it's about giving back to the world.
I agree. I agree. I couldn't agree more.
Now, what gap in caregiver support did you identify that the caregiver's journey aims to address?
Probably one of the things I struggled with the most. I was a technology executive, and so my husband got a diagnosis of dementia, frontotemporal dementia, and I spent so much time, Googling it, trying to read scholarly articles. I read more scholarly articles than some of the words. I'm like, I don't even know what they're talking about, but I'm getting the gist here. I read and just tried to get a PhD, if you will, in what he had. And what I found, even in terms of support for me as a caregiver, was a lot of high-level information or academic information. And if it was on day-to-day dementia caregiving challenges, it was a lot of reading. So, read 2 or 3 pages on how to bathe someone with dementia. What Sue and I both felt was missing was practical tips for day-to-day caregiving in a peer-to-peer mode where people could listen, they could hear stories, get those same practical tips in a format that was inviting, motivating. We want them to feel good at the end that you can handle this. And that's very different than just reading 2 pages about how to bathe someone who's got dementia. And so we focus on 25-minute podcasts. Sometimes they're 20, sometimes they're 30, but we try to get somewhere around 25. And we pick topics like incontinence, wandering, dementia, home safety, et cetera. And we are very structured. We talk about the topic. Then we talk about tips to help you get through the topic. We tell stories about what we did wrong or what we did right and how that helped us manage through this particular task or topic. And then we create a matching blog. So we say we have a blog, but we don't do separate blogs. Every blog matches a podcast where we've written basically the story that's in the podcast itself. We've almost effectively taken notes, if you will, for the podcast. So there's a blog number 33 has matching podcast number 33, and it's effectively the written version of what's in the podcast. So there, you don't have to take notes. But the idea was and is, how do we help people find another way to get the information they need and absorb it and leverage it and feel good at the end that they can handle it? And that's the challenge with dementia caregiving. It's just can be overwhelming.
Oh, most definitely. Now, when it comes to advice, what would you give to somebody who has just become a caregiver?
One of the hardest things to recognize, and the sooner you recognize it, the better. I've only found people recognize this when they've watched someone else do it wrong. But caregiving is not something you're just doing for the one you love, for the care receiver. Once you're in a caregiving role, you have two people to care for. That's your care receiver and yourself. And you have to take caregiving for both just at the same level of importance. You have to be caregiving for your care receiver, and you have to caregive for yourself. And that is the hardest thing to place to get. But once you get there, you'll put yourself in a much more positive place in terms of being a better caregiver and delivering better care, and also being able to get through it, because dementia caregiving is a marathon. It's not a 6-month activity. This goes on. My husband lived for 10 years, Sue's husband for almost 13. So it's not a short process. So put yourself in the best position to continue to be the best caregiver you can be by caregiving for yourself just as diligently as you do for your care receiver.
I love that. I love that. Now, if you can ensure everyone every caregiver you knew, what would be one thing that you would like to tell them?
You know, the thing that helped me, I talked about empathy earlier, and the thing that helped me frame how to handle difficult situations is the old golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And
Yes.
I would constantly think, if it were me and I were in this situation, how would I want, and my husband Kim were caring for me, how would I want him to care for me? What would I want him to do? And so some situations, it's very difficult to decide what to do when you're dealing with medication, specifically around sedatives and aggressive behavior, when you're dealing with incontinence, when you're dealing with them being aggressive, all of those things, when you're dealing with those, it's very difficult to think, what do I do? But if you think, how would I want them to treat me in this situation if I were confused or frightened and didn't know what was happening? And it gives you a level of internal peace to think, okay, if I were confused and didn't know what was happening and was frightened, and I would want them to treat me this way. And it just puts you in a much better position to make good decisions.
I like that a lot. Now, how would you how can you have listeners support the caregiver journey? Because I think it's so important that people understand ways that they could support the caregiver's journey, because we need more foundations like yourself out there, and we need people need help. Dementia is on the rise, Alzheimer's is on the rise. But a lot of people, one, I feel a lot of people are in denial. Two, I feel people see the symptoms and they don't understand the changes, they don't understand enough about it. And then when they do realize that the person is suffering from dementia and is suffering from, Alzheimer's, they don't know what the next step, what the right choices are to make, how do they care for the person, what doctors should they see, what tests should be done, should we put them on a medication to slow down the dementia, what medications are good, what medications are bad, what is out there, there's so many tests and studies being done, people have no clue about them, so what can, how can listeners support the caregiver's journey so you could supply them with all that information and put them on the right journey and the right road?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. First, if you know someone who is a primary caregiver or a family member of someone living with dementia, please point them to our podcast and our website. Our website is thecaregiversjourney.com. So point them to that. And there they can find lots of resources in the form of podcasts, blogs, guides, worksheets, and hopefully put themselves in a position to understand better what is getting ready to happen and how they need to manage to get through it in the best possible way. And then, of course, top right-hand corner, there's a donate button. We do take donations. We're a nonprofit, so we appreciate any financial support as well.
I love it. Now, what type of services that you provide so people have an understanding of when they come to your website, all the different things that you could help them with?
So we have the podcast, which is our core service, and we leverage the podcast to create blogs, which is the written portion of our the written version of the podcast. We take the podcast where we've got we for example, we have five podcasts on incontinence, starts from how to prepare for it to all the way to how to change a bedbound care receiver. Those are collected in what we call a guide, and a guide walks you through almost like an ebook or a mini book where you can understand that topic. We've got several different topics where we've collected a group of podcasts into guides. Some of the podcasts have worksheets, like how to plan an end-of-life celebration. We've got a worksheet for that. Caregiver self-care, we've got a worksheet for that. And then we have a Trusted by Us section where we find other resources like training programs, books that we have personally experienced, read the book, been through the training program. We know these are good resources for dementia family caregivers. So those resources are out there as well. So you can go in and find training that you might want to take it. And we print those out. I mean, we point that out which ones you should take at the beginning and where they fall into your caregiving journey in terms of how you want to leverage those resources.
I love that. I love that. And once again, can you tell everybody the website address so they remember it?
thecaregiversjourney.com.
And before we go, if you had to take today's conversation and you wanted to pull out some important factors to emphasize to the listeners, what would be something that you want the listeners to remember walking away from this podcast?
Dementia family caregiving is a team sport. You're responsible for you and your care receiver, and you adjust it and create those as equal caregiving responsibilities. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Keep that in the back of your mind at all times, and think when you're treating your how you're treating your care receiver. Think about how you would like to be treated if this roles were reversed.
Yes.
And lastly, I think is please be patient with other family caregivers. It is a marathon, not a sprint. And so
Yeah.
help other family caregivers. If you see them, offer to help. We have an episode on how to accept help. So hopefully they've listened to that episode so they know how to accept help so that when you offer to help, they can take advantage of it.
I love it. I love it. And before we go, is there anything else that comes to mind that you'd like to share with the audience before we go?
I want to thank you, Stacy, yet again for all of your support. We really appreciate it. You've been a great business partner.
Thank you. And I want to do anything I can to help you. Like I said, my uncle had dementia. I've been through a lot of, I advocate a lot for a lot of different, illnesses and conditions, and I see what families go through, and it's very hard. And being a caregiver myself, I know what it's like to, care for others. And for me, having a disability, I realized when I became a caregiver what everybody else was going through when I needed help, and they stepped in and helped me. So, it's something that people have to really take in consideration. And even if you don't have someone right now that has dementia or Alzheimer's, don't stop yourself from trying to help others. Help others just to do a good thing. Just like you see the commercials on TV and you see the dogs that are in need and they ask you to donate to help the dogs. Well, maybe it's time to stop and think. And Alzheimer's is on the rise, dementia's on the rise. We see what it does to families. We see what it does to the person. Think to yourself, what could I do to help one family make their life better? And maybe consider going to the caregiver's journey and donating and helping others, because all it needs is one donation can go a long way, and it could help a family and change a family's lives. I don't think people realize it, but it doesn't take much to be able to, as long as you have some funding, you could do so much to help other people improve their overall lives and improve their ability to move forward with their families and be able to live comfortably and make the person who has Alzheimer's or dementia live comfortably as well. So I just want to say thank you for everything you do, and you have such an amazing story, and I just want to commend you for all the strength you have. And going through what you did with your husband is not easy, and now you've turned it into something good by advocating for people with dementia and helping others, because there's so many different types of dementia out there. I don't think people realize there's more than one type of dementia out there. And what you're doing is amazing. I just want to say thank you.
Well, thank you for that.
You're welcome. Well, you have a great day. I look forward to seeing you soon. And everybody, I highly suggest that you go to Nancy's podcast. We have one on our channel, and The Caregiver's Journey, and learn from it and be able to get inspired and motivated and be able to really understand what's going on, so you could actually be able to help yourself, your family, and the people you love and care about. Thank you so much.